Hello.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, the Ramble Mania show probably brings to you is I, your former seven-time Ramble Mania heavyweight champion, Hazel the Eyes. I'm joined along with me, as always.
It's me, Ivy.
Welcome back to another edition of What SmackDown. We sit here and give you the good and the bad who booked this shit on Friday Night SmackDown. You know, we haven't done this in 3 weeks. We need to stop that.
yo, you were sick. You were sick. So, like,
yo, we said, that happened. One, I was sick. And most of the times, I have to work.
Yeah. So, like I said in my little high promo, shit happened. You know, some scheduling conflicts, but we back.
Man.
It made them miss us. You got to think about that, right? It's like a female, right? That you were talking to, picture like this, right? We're that female, and we were hitting that guy up, right? And he didn't listen to us, and he didn't hit us back up. So now we back, and now they miss us. Boom.
I don't know how you could just, like, I've seen some guys who aren't wrestlers, who are just wrestling fans, I've seen guys that would smoke at least maybe 4 to 5 blunts, and they'll start doing Macho Man promos. They'll start doing all, like, I knew some guys in New York that used to do, like, Austin promos. Like, they would literally try to mimic his voice, and it's like, it's so funny, but it's so accurate. And
you mean like Kevin Owens?
Well, not kind of like Kevin Owens, because they don't have ball caps. They don't have shorts. They don't have knee braces. They don't have boots, and they don't wear Austin shirts. They're just in normal street clothes. I mean, like, when I smoke, sometimes it's annoying to, like, cut a promo high, but then, like, you get used to it once in a while. Don't do it while drinking, because drinking is the worst. Cutting a promo while drinking is the worst. Jake the Snake is a prime example of that.
Don't promo and drive.
Yeah. Just don't do any of that. Like, smoking weed is the best thing that could ever happen to anyone in the fucking world. Anyone. Hell, I don't know. Maybe half of the WWE roster smokes. Everyone there is buzzed.
We need to make a list, right? You and me. Of which WWE members we think smokes, and then fucking say it next week. I'm just saying, that if we're doing a show for SmackDown,
that means we have to write down the entire roster. That goes for NXT and the UK division.
Oh, we doing it like that?
I mean, you want to name one? If you want to do just main roster, I have no problem with that. I think there's about at least, I don't know, 50 people that they use on the main roster, even though they have 200 guys and women.
We could do this. Make a segment, cut it up. Ta-da!
So, are you ready for the week coming up? Because it's happening. We are finally about to hit WrestleMania. You are going after the WrestleMania championship for the first time.
This shit gonna be fun.
And let me just say it right now, you're not gonna win. Six isn't gonna win. TJ isn't gonna win. Twin better win, but I'm gonna win. Because none of you deserve anything. You all suck.
Oh, it's okay. It's okay. I'm an underdog.
No, but may the best man and woman win. But
I just want my Ramble Mania moment. That's all I want.
Yes, you want, everyone wants their Ramble Mania, WrestleMania moment. I had mine, but it was very quarantined. I mean, no crowd. And we didn't even do live streams. We just posted our predictions and we just kept the score on fucking Facebook Messenger.
That's wild.
I know. Funny,
that's
huh?
That's not a real... That's not a real Ramble Mania moment, then.
Well, it kind of is. I mean, what's not the best Ramble Mania moment is having to win it at a Mania that had nobody. Like, you ever go on Pornhub and you just watch one of those videos and there's just a lot of moaning and groaning? That's all it was in, at WrestleMania 36. All of that.
There was no choking.
There was no missionary. There was no none of that. There was just...
No. There was missionary. The entire pay-per-view was missionary. What are you talking about?
It was just so weird. And I'm glad that it was just that one WrestleMania that got it and we never get it again. Because, you know, imagine if they did Mania at the Thunderdome. Just imagine. Just imagine. Not even. Imagine if they just did it at a huge football arena and their whole crowd is nothing. The whole arena is filled with nothing but screens full of people watching it on their computers.
Did you ever do the Thunderdome, though?
Hell no. If I ever did the Thunderdome, I'd probably do, like, the most stupidest shit ever.
You would be that person that put the Benoit picture up, right?
No, I'd be I would actually be that person that smokes weed on a PG program and not give a shit. Or put that guy's face on there. I don't care. Maybe I put Muhammad Hassan. Ooh. I don't know.
Ooh.
Anything that doesn't feel like I'm being that offensive towards, like, the audience and people, like, I'm not going to go that. I don't want to go that far. Like, yeah, I intend to do some really crazy shit sometimes, but I don't do that. Like, you're not going to see me. I know this is probably not going to be up on the show, but I'm just going to say anyway. You're not going to see me on the Thunderdome with a picture of fucking Hitler on my goddamn wall. That's not going to happen. That will never fucking happen. Okay.
Well, they got to cut out my part that I said anyways.
Let alone fucking Donald Trump. Like, yeah, that would kick me off the fucking screen immediately. All right, so enough of that crazy shit. Okay, we got some... Go ahead.
I would love to see our outtakes one. Can we see our outtakes one day?
No.
The stuff that never made it.
No.
Like Morty's mind blowers.
Oh man, come on! Don't bring that up. All right, but we got some.
Yeah. All right, so we hear back in the news, right?
Yeah, we got some news, but let's talk about the big one here. Let's talk about Triple H announcing his in-ring retirement yesterday. I think it was on ESPN with some dude that loves to get hyper on television. I'm like
Stephen A. Smith. Who also plays Brick on General Hospital. Let's talk about that.
So, the retirement is legit. I mean, he wouldn't go on ESPN and just make this official. The only reason why he's doing this is because of the surgeries that he has to deal with his heart. And I believe there's something inside of his body now. And now...
a pacemaker.
Yeah. So now he needs to... He needs to be in check now. His health is what's more important than getting back into the ring and doing what he loves best, entertaining us. But apparently, we know how this company likes to do things. They like to add a little extra, you know, plans ahead of, not even ahead of time, like last minute plans in case some of these plans don't come out. Like, apparently there was a rumor going around that, oh, Bobby Lashley might face Omos at WrestleMania. I'm like, okay.
Is he on injury?
I was like, the fucking injury might come into play, but I'm also thinking like, that could happen. Maybe Omos might finally get his first fucking loss. I mean, honestly, at this point, it's just like Trips has done so much for this business. Especially for NXT. He's done a lot for NXT until his father-in-law ruined it. And his corporate businessmen ruined it. But, I mean, Triple H, honestly, I don't know how long he was going to keep going wrestling. Like, yeah, there was rumors about him actually having a match at Mania. I'm like, against who? We're gonna get him and Seth Rollins again? For what? So he can get his win back?
You know, I think I could have seen him go one more time had that been the case, had he not had the issues with his card, right? Because you definitely saw him more involved on the back end of things. So he was probably going to do maybe that one match and, like, really retire it. But circumstances, you know, say that he can't do it. You know, and I don't blame him after having something like that, putting a pacemaker. I'm not saying he can't go back if he wants to, but I don't blame him for the time being to, one, focus on his health, and, two, maybe he can go back and take over NXT and take it out from Cartoon Network 2.0.
I mean, you know, it also comes down to the fact that, like, I mean, I know this is not the biggest issue, but, you know, this is also, like, part, like, somehow, somewhat part of it. You're mourning over your friend that just passed away. You know, so I think maybe now was the perfect time. I mean, after the heart surgery and after having the pacemaker, like, I think it was the perfect time for him now to announce his retirement. And I honestly would like to thank Triple H for everything that he's contributed in the wrestling business, other than the goddamn fucking Reign of Terror from 2003 to 2005. That I despised you for. Okay. You were screwing a mannequin's brains out. You were doing racist shit just to get yourself over and not Booker T. Bro, every person that he didn't put over in that company, like, I don't understand. How is it that you needed to be the ultimate heel? How? Why? Why did you need to do that? But everything else that you've done in this company, other than, oh, I drugged the boss's daughter and forced her to marry me and shit. And everything else. DX, great, great fucking stuff. Even your stuff in your WWF debut, going all the way back to Terror Rising in WCW. And when you were Jean-Paul Levesque with Lord Steven Regal. I thank you for all of your contributions in this business. You know, you gave us a lot of great matches. You gave us some really bad ones also. I mean, come on. Why? What made you think that you were going to get Kali over or Kozlov over? And, you know, thank you for giving us the amazing years of what was NXT. You gave us possibly what could have been a resurgence to the WWE brand by having all these guys just be themselves and put on shows every week that were bangers until it was time for them to get fucked over in the main roster. So thank you. So thank you, Paul Levesque, for everything that you've given us over 27 years and forward.
You need to thank him, though, for the one and only 3-brand Survivor Series that has been the best in the last 10 years.
Thank you for the best Survivor Series that 2019 ever got to see.
Thank you for that. Thank you for your contributions to the wrestling game. And let's hope you could fix something of Cartoon Network 2.0.
And let's thank half of the SmackDown roster for being stuck in Saudi Arabia for over 48 hours. Just so NXT can show up on their show and put on a better show than they did. Okay, so what's this shit about? Eric Bischoff doesn't see a basic understanding of how to tell a story in AEW. What the hell is this? What is this?
All right, so according to our friend at NoDQ, Eric Bischoff doesn't see a basic understanding of how to tell a story in AEW. During his 83-week podcast, Eric Bischoff talked about AEW's television viewership and what the company might need to do to grow. I've been saying this from the get-go. I've been saying this from day one, whether it's about WWE or AEW. It's a commitment to story, and AEW is proving my point. The fact that they plateaued is proving my point. You can add whoever you want to your roster, and it won't matter beyond a week or two unless the audience is engaged in a compelling story that makes them look forward to next week. Not be, just because they're wrestling fans and they want to see a four-star Tokyo Dome match. No, that's not going to grow the audience. That's going to satisfy the audience you already have. You can have a, if you can have a, that phenomenal athletic match, great. And it's a payoff to the story. That's excellent. That's perfect. But if you're not building stories that people focus on, talk about, relate to, and make the fans want to come back every week and see where it's going next. If you're not doing that, I don't give a damn. You could take WWE's existing roster, bring it over to AEW, and nothing's going to happen. It's story first. And first of all, you have to have a basic understanding of how to tell a story. And I don't see it. I see it in WWE and I don't see it in AEW. I find that crapola and a half, because let alone that whole promo between MJF and fucking CM Punk.
I don't. What?
That promo with CM Punk and MJF led to something with Wardlow.
I felt
and,
like,
and MJF.
But I feel like AEW has way more better. I'm not going to say they have way more better storytelling. They have more sensible storytelling than what WWE puts out every week. Some of their shit just doesn't make any sense sometimes. Sometimes you have to send out every single angle that they fucking do in this company. And yes, some of them could be good. Some of them could be good.
WWE don't make sense because I feel like they're scrambling right now to figure out what they're doing with their company.
But here's the thing that's so different with AEW and WWE. When AEW tells a story, they actually tell the story and they actually deliver with the matches. With WWE, when they tell a story, they tell the story. But when the bell rings, it doesn't connect with the story. Or they can have a banger match, but the banger match doesn't fucking... but the story didn't build the angle the match did. That's how WWE likes to play their shit. Oh, forget about what happened within the matter of weeks that we were building up this angle. Did you not see the five-star match that these two people put on? Fuck that angle. That angle was garbage. This whole match was the angle. Or, oh, did you see that amazing promo that these two men cut on SmackDown? Wait, can't wait till you see this match. Wow, what a dumpster fire this match was. You mean to tell me that their promo skills couldn't top what they were trying to do in that ring? Fuck out of here. Eric Bischoff sometimes does not know what he's talking about. I think he just likes to gloat on the fact that he beat WWE for 83 weeks straight. Because there is some storytelling going on in AEW. There is. And yeah, they like to add little tidbits of what's going to happen next with some wrestler or some character and everything else. With WWE, it's, oh, I'm done with this person. Who's next?
So I have something for Eric Bischoff. You ready for this?
Go ahead. Like, this is the thing. Eric, that's your opinion. That's your opinion. You could have that opinion. Because, you know, that's how you see things taking place in the world of wrestling. Not a lot of people see your opinion that way, though. A lot of people see it differently. Some people could see it my way. Some people could see it other people's way. Some people could see it Ivy's way. Who fucking knows? The fact of the matter is everyone has their own opinion about how storytelling is being told in AEW, let alone WWE. Your opinion may be right on some things, but your opinion also could be wrong on maybe half of the things that you're saying. I could be wrong on certain things that I'm saying right now, but that's my opinion.
So is his opinion a toilet flush?
I mean, honestly, like I think his opinion is more of... It's more like you're choosing between high class a full course meal or a high class dessert, and he just chose the dessert, and he just kept chomping on the bits, and he just kept asking for more. Basically, he was just, you could just be a fucking pig and eat it all. That's all he was. with that opinion. And again, yes, everyone likes to throw their little tidbits out there about how Jim Cornette is one of them also. He's one of those that's just like, you know, he doesn't like a lot of things about AEW. Some of the wrestlers he doesn't like, some of the angles he doesn't like. He doesn't like any of the crazy high spot shit. Well, guess what? Jim Cornette, Eric Bischoff, there are some people in this generation that like that shit. Not everyone is going to like the shit that you like the Faction Magic or the Territorial days where back then it used to be cool. You know, people are just into different things. People are into the nostalgia. Don't get me wrong. People still like the old school stuff, but the old school stuff is not literally what's going to keep this business moving afloat. You have to focus on the future. And the future is right now what everyone's putting out. Product-wise, story-wise, rivalry-wise, wrestling-wise, everyone's putting out a good product, whether you like it or not.
You know who's putting an amazing product out, though?
Who?
Us, goddammit.
Oh, yeah, that too. We put out good product for everyone to listen to and watch and enjoy.
And then next week, you're going to see me stomp you, though. Oh.
But look, I mean.
Stomp.
I don't know, man. Like, that's Bischoff's thing. Sometimes I didn't even want to go there. I just wanted you to read out what he said. And then I just would have been like, all right, next. But I just wanted to get my 2 cents out there because it was just so weird. So Shad Gaspar is finally going to receive the Warrior Award.
The Warrior Award. I think that's great, honestly.
Very proud
that's
moment. Amazing. I wish it was a Hall of Fame induction. But if it's the Warrior Award, that's even perfect. I believe that his wife, his son, will probably be accepting the award on the kind of his bravery, his heroic antics to save his son on that, you know, that wave shit that took place that, you know, took him away from his family. That's a bummer.
I feel like one day down the line, they would give it to him. Maybe like around a time, or let's say when they would do a Hall of Fame for Shelton Benjamin, they'll do like for the tag team.
I mean,
that way, not only what he did was extremely heroic. Yeah. I don't know, like,
he sacrificed himself to save his son's life. And you know, a lot of people are willing to throw themselves in that kind of line to save others and have those little heroic moments. And I'm not going to say that like what he did here was just, you know.
No, he did it for his kid. Because if it was my kid, I would die for my kid.
Yeah. You know, a lot of parents would say that, like they would die for their kids. It's like, you know, I think Denzel Washington said it best and John Hughes, like, I am not going to bury my son. My son's going to bury me. And I was just like, wow, that's passionate.
But you know what it is? Because like last year, you know, we buried my brother. So I saw my brother's mother bury him.
I'm sorry.
So I saw, thank you. You know, so I see that pain. So it's true. Parents shouldn't be burying us. I love my mom. I'm not going to be ready for the day that I have to bury her. But I don't want to have her have the added pain of having to mourn me.
Yeah.
You know, I know this kid is probably looking down and like, my dad saved my life. And on top of that, he was this cool wrestler in WWE.
This is something that everyone was asking about last year. We couldn't get it. The fact that we're now getting it this year is a very triumphant moment for Shad to have his legacy be carried on with the Warrior Award for his heroics, his bravery, and, you know, for everything that he's done in this business, too. So I also want to thank Shad for that. And if it's, if his wife and his son get receive the reward, then good. I actually would love to hear what they have to say about Shad.
I'm gonna definitely be watching that. So I don't know if we're not recording on Friday, are we?
No, we're like, so this is what's happening. We're not doing the Hall of Fame because everyone's gonna be watching Rampage. I'm probably gonna be watching the Impact event that's taking place at WrestleCade, where they have like all these other promotions coming in, the multiverse shit. And we're not gonna be recording NXT. So NXT is gonna be a part of these predictions also.
Oh, so we're battling in two types of things. Okay, yes. I gotta read up. Okay.
Yeah, we always do this for like, you know, whenever NXT gets involved with like the big four pay-per-views, we like to put them in with the predictions as well. I mean, yeah, I'm gonna watch it, but we're not gonna be doing that live because how silly would it be if we are starting at noon? If we're starting at noon and then we have to come back 5 hours later. Like, just think about it.
That's a lot of sitting.
It's a lot. It's not even just a lot of sitting. It's a lot. And it's not even like a big thing because we're doing it live. It's less editing on our backs. That's like the hugest thing. But it's also like everyone has other things to do. So everyone just rather save up all of their energy for Mania. But when we do the score, when we have the card and all that stuff, the scores for NXT are still going to continue on to Mania Night 1 and 2.
Mania. So, but did you hear about my hall pass at Eddie Kingston though, right? And how he opened up about being his own worst enemies and how his promos are considered therapy?
Yeah. I heard about this, and I actually agree with everything that Eddie said there. You know, Eddie's one of those guys that he shoots from the hip. He doesn't need a script. He is the realest motherfucker in AEW right now. I mean, he's no New Jack, but he keeps it real with everyone in the ring, promo-wise, and physical-wise. Like, he pulls no punches. And I see that in Eddie so much because, yes, a lot of people have a lot of flaws in their persona. We all battle with our demons every day. Hello, I'm 3 years cold turkey. I still battle that shit every fucking day. It's not easy. Okay, sometimes I do think about relapsing, but I think about what others, how I would hurt others and how I would affect people and myself, including. So, yeah, you got to fight those demons every time. That's why when he cut that promo with Jericho before he shook his hand, like, yeah, Jericho got in his head. Can Eddie win the big one? And Eddie was literally about to go on a downward spiral. He was going to drink. But then he did a meet and greet and four guys that actually, you know, came up to him, spoke to him about an interview that he did, saved their lives and, you know, inspired them to be themselves and not have anyone. Like, Eddie's one of those people that is not a cog in the machine. I look at everyone else, it's like, you're a cog. Oh, you're a fucking pawn, definitely. You're definitely a pawn. But everyone there is a fucking cog. Everyone's just being told what to do while Eddie is just like, fuck you, I'm doing me.
So Eddie said in the Wrestling with Freddie podcast, ever since I was born, I don't know, I've been talking shit my whole life. You know what I mean? And to be honest with you, people are like, oh, you're so great at promos. These are not promos to me. This is therapy to me. So all the stuff I feel on my chest, or in my stomach during the week where I can't let it out. Like, I can work it out. I can do Muay Thai. I can have my girlfriend choke me out of jujitsu, which she always does. She's a black belt. I'm an eggshell color white. I rather throw punches. That's why I like Muay Thai. But the emotional stuff, excuse me, I can't let out until I get in that ring and have a microphone. So people are like, oh, everything you say is so real. It feels so real because it is. My career before AEW was one step forward. I'm reading my computer off the TV. My career before AEW was one step forward, four steps back, because I would shoot myself in the foot because my temper and my other mental health issues. There was a period of time between 2007 and 2008 where I was on a roll. I was at all these big indies like Ring of Honor, PWG. I was wrestling every weekend, 3 to 4 times a week. And I would get in my own head saying, I don't deserve this. I'm drinking and I'm sitting in the Tombs in New York in the drunk tank, missing flight, and then come back again. And everyone will be like, we're so happy you're back on track. And then I go right off again. Either as someone pisses me off in the locker room and I'm screaming and yelling, or a promoter tells me to do something, or a promoter doesn't pay me right and I'm going to the cash box to take money from them, then you get a bad reputation. Also, my body, I'm not going to lie to you, I was almost 300 pounds at one point because I just didn't work out last. I was just fighting. So my career is just up and down. I'm not my own worst enemy, you know what I mean? So that's been my career. Even at AEW, there's moments, man. I tell people all the time, there was a moment where old Eddie, 20-something, 30-something-year-old Eddie is whispering in my ear, like, go ahead, man, do your thing. Blow it all away. Blow it all up.
I give that man respect. Because, again, everyone has to fight their demons. Everyone has to face their worst fears. And, you know, Eddie's was at that point where it's like he just couldn't do it anymore. But something lit a fire in his ass that got him back in the ring and continuing having him doing what he loved best. You know, putting on a show for all of us to enjoy, honestly. That's why I give it. Like that's why I could watch AEW and always tell myself, all right, I know I'm getting ready to hear what Eddie has to say. I'm getting because like he said, it's therapy to him. That ring is his fucking couch, and everyone that's watching in the arena and at home, we are the therapist, basically with our pen and pad, just writing down everything that he says without us even telling him that he needs a prescription. Because he don't need that shit. He's just expressing how he feels. And how he feels is that he feels shitty. He feels angry. But you know what? He comes here because this is what he loves to do. This is what makes him fucking happy. This is what keeps him sane, people. This is what keeps him from going off the deep end.
I hate that people think now people discussing their mental issues is a way to be a media ploy, when in the end of the day, it's really not.
Like, it's supposed to be some sort of pity party. It's not something for people to be like, get pity for. This is real shit. People have real life issues that they deal with. We all do. And sometimes it's okay to just let it out. Let people know what you're going through. It's not for people to feel sorry for you. You need people to understand what you're going through.
This is why we have platforms like this to do that. And we should be grateful for that. That way, maybe if we're talking about our issues, other people could talk about their issues. And then they could find there's some way to heal. And not like heal, like what it says on Zombie's hat, like heal with an A in it. Yeah. So if you want to be a heel like Zombie is, you could do that too. But you want to know who I don't respect though right now?
Who?
Tell this man Ryback to go the fuck home.
Oh, I have no respect for this man.
Ryback the fuck home. As previously noted, Triple H confirmed that he will not wrestle again due to his recent health problems. Former WWE star Ryback calmed down the news with the following message. You ended up being the biggest disappointment for me personally from loving you growing up, but I wish you well in retirement and future good health. Yo, if this ain't the most double-handed clapback, like you're complimenting someone, it's like those Avon ladies where they sell the stuff where they compliment you. and then fucking slap you with an insult so you can buy their product. Except, like, I don't get what Ryback really gets from this right now.
Just something to boost his ego. I don't really care for what he has to say at this point. This is just something for him to get attention for. And if it is, good job. You got it. You fucking got it after you had to say what you had to say about Hunter. I mean, I don't know what your beef with Hunter was. I never heard that you guys had beef before at all.
I thought the beef was more with Vince.
Yeah, that's Vinnie what I'm Mac. Thinking.
Vinnie Mac hurt people's feelings.
That's what I was thinking. I'm like, I don't know. I don't care. Are you ready for the SmackDown, though?
I got my screen up with my notes.
All right, submitted to the approval of the Rainbow Mania show. This is I'm Sick and Tired of Charlotte and Ronda Already. Without further ado, let's get ready to ramble!
Yeah!
Okay, so here's what SmackDown. It was in Brooklyn. Cool.
Brooklyn.
You know, it would be better if I was home, because then I would have at least...
You were too busy trying to go to that Jeff Hardy show.
Champion Brock Lesnar is outside the locker room of Roman Reigns. Caleb Braxton asked if he thought about what he did last week. Lesnar says he thought about it and paid some fines. Basically, let's talk about, before I finish this segment, let's talk about what happened last week. Because last week pissed me off. And I think it was a good thing that we didn't record it, because a lot of belts would have been fucking NITO'd all over the place, and there probably would have been a fucking hole in my wall. So, Roman Reigns is cutting a promo. Paul says Brock's not here because weather. 20 seconds later, Brock is here! Brock is here! He's here! He's here!
Oh!
They go in a car. Brock is on a fucking forklift. Paul just yelled 30 seconds ago, he fucking landed. You are fucking liars, WWE. Forklift comes. And you know when it's WrestleMania, you got to do some shit with a car in order to make the fucking angle interesting. So they duck. A forklift spikes through the windows of the car. And then Brock is just, puts the fucking car over, and I don't know how the fuck they got out. All of a sudden, we cut to commercial. We cut back from commercial. These motherfuckers are going into another car. And I'm like, wait a minute. Why is it taking you guys this long to get into another car? Like, Brock's right there. Brock just literally almost grabs an Uso out of the car. But apparently, one of the car doors just magically separates.
Braun Strowman!
He takes the fucking door hinge that magically separated from the fucking pickup truck, takes it to the arena, and my first thought was, please don't throw this at the crowd. A fan literally sued you for injuring him when you threw a red car door at fucking Raw. But no, it's just, he comes out, he pushes the door, he kicks the door, and he says, I'm coming for blood. I'm like, and all I was waiting for him to say was, I'm coming hard. And I'm like, yeah. He just,
hey, yo.
He likes saying stuff like that. You know, he said that when he was going after Seth Rollins. This was at a house show. He says, Seth Rollins, I'm coming for your boy. I'm coming hard. Yo. I'm like, yo.
Hey, yo. Fuck? Hey, yo. Did you see the meme that's going around with every pause moment that possibly was there in the WWE? And then you just have Scott Hall going, Ayo.
Oh. That's gonna be the wrestling meme of 2022. Anything sus is gonna have a Scott Hall.
Ayo.
Hail. Rest in peace to you, big man. We love you. We miss you. All right, so back to this shit. All right, so he's paid some fines, but he's also bought some new cars. He also bought a new vehicle in blood red. Okay, Cardi B. WWE officials told him that he cannot touch Roman Reigns unless provoked. So he will hang out in Roman Reigns' locker room and wait for a good provoking. Really? So you're just a child that did something bad in school waiting for your mom to come home and get that good ass whooping. So he walks into fucking Roman Reigns' luxurious locker room, and I'm like, wow, no one else gets this kind of treatment. So everyone got to share the same locker room.
Everyone got a bench.
Bro, Roman got a studio apartment. My man, you could fit a kitchen, a bathroom. You don't even need a living room. Your bedroom is your living room. Just get a queen size bed. Get a couch or a futon. You're fucking set for life.
He's king. He's the tribal chief. He's a god.
Barclays got that kind of money to have that shit. Well, it's New York, so they pretty expensive. I bet if they were charging rent there, that shit would be $100,000. Just for that studio. I'm like, my nigga, you better tell Eric Matthews to lower that shit now. Fuck. All right, so goes into this man's locker room. It's spacious as fuck. And Lesnar sarcastically says, looks nice, but not as nice as his. So you're talking about your house? So Lesnar sits on the sofa and he puts his feet on the coffee table. And something tells me that the coffee table was supposed to break on one, but then it just went to two. And then, you know, that's just it. We will cut back to Brock later on in the locker room, you know, because it's just him trying to provoke Roman. And the only way to provoke this man is, oh, I'm going to destroy your most luxurious. I'm going to destroy your space, your safe space, because you're triggered by me being on SmackDown every Fridays. What'd you think of this segment?
I'm going to tell you the truth. Based off of that is how I felt my SmackDown was going to be today. How I felt with the SmackDown was going to be my initial reaction to the entire SmackDown. I was like, it really didn't captivate me. And I was kind of right.
That's how I felt. Like, if people thought last week's show of SmackDown was bad, oh, man, I think you guys are lucky that you didn't get to hear the recap for last week.
I sit here and I'm like, I remember when promos leading up to Mania would be actually violent.
Yeah, no, I mean.
And then they got the really pussy looking security guards nowadays, and it just doesn't feel the same no more.
All right, so yeah, apparently the show now, since I've now haven't paid attention to SmackDown, the show has now been officially sponsored by Papa John's every week. And they like to show us a lineup of matches that are taking place, which I think is kind of cool, but why does it have to be Papa John's to allow people to promote SmackDown? Do you guys love Shaq that much?
It looks like it.
So We start off our show with was it the tag match?
It is Ridge Holland.
No, it was Rick Boogs playing his guitar. And one thing that I hate is when he does a guitar thing, it's cool, but when you're doing the Freddie Mercury like vocals, like I'm like, okay, I don't need to. Can we move it along, please? Like, I don't want to do all that. I don't want to do it. Like, and you're doing too much of it. Stop it. Just fucking stop, please. So, yeah, he plays the guitar. Nakamura comes out, Pat McAfee is just on the table, and something tells me that Pat McAfee has superpowers. Because why is it that every time he's on top of that goddamn commentary table, it doesn't fucking collapse on him?
Because it's the power of Shinsuke Nakamura!
So, we have a one-on-one match with Nakamura, accompanied by Rick Boots, taking on Jimmy Uso, accompanied by his brother. So before the match, they brawl it out. They beat each other up. You know, a teaser of what's to come for WrestleMania. They want to at least tease us with something that could have something good out of this angle. Then we go to commercial break. We cut back. Order's restored. And they lock up. Jimmy applies a side headlock to Nakamura. Nakamura whips him off. But Jimmy shoulder blocks him down. Nakamura applies a waist lock. But Jimmy wrenches the arm. Jimmy twists it a bit, but Nakamura rolls through and kips up to reverse the pressure. Jimmy quickly hooks a side headlock again. Nakamura just whips him off. But Jimmy shoulder blocks him again. You know how boring this shit gets when all you're doing is headlocks and shoulder blocks. All right. Nakamura fights back and shouts, "Kiamma!" And all that bullshit. Takes down Jimmy, drops him with a knee. Nakamura bounces onto Jimmy it's three at the fourth. Rides to the turnbuckle and digs his foot into Jimmy's throat. Jimmy rolls out of the ring to recover. Nakamura quickly puts him back and lays him on the apron. Nakamura hits him with a running knee to the face. Nakamura then gets back in the ring but surprises Jimmy with a clothesline. Jimmy is just very angry, Hulk style. Jimmy connects with a back suplex for a two count. Jimmy continues to take it to Nakamura, but knocks him out of the ring. Jimmy goes for a suicide dive, but Nakamura counters him with a kick to the face. Nakamura is just fired up. Commercial. Now we come back. Nakamura drop kicks Jimmy. Nakamura kicks him again, but Jimmy reverses a whip to the corner. Nakamura fights back, lays him on the top rope, and then hits him with a running knee to the ribs for a near fall. A lot of knees in this shit. Nakamura has him down, but he is distracted by Jey Uso taking out Rick Boogs at ringside. Nakamura yells at him before turning into a super kick for Jimmy for a near fall. Jimmy grabs Boogs' guitar at ringside, but Boogs fights back, sends him to the ring post. In the ring, Nakamura gets the better of Jimmy and connects him with the Kinshasa, defeating Jimmy Uso, getting the momentum going into their tag team match at Mania. Yeah, what did you think of this? What did you think of this match?
I think I also need you to get a little closer to the mic.
Does that work?
Oh my fucking God, yes. I thought my AirPods were breaking. So, now that I can fully hear you, thank the fuck God. I actually liked that match. It was a lot of action. I do like that they kind of built something up. I don't think they're going to lose the titles come Mania. They're the most dominant tag team in the division right now. They also make the most money for the division right now. And then if they lose, that means Roman loses. So I can't think about that.
Here's my thing. Like, this match was okay. I'm not going to give it any sort of negativity. It wasn't bad. I'm just, at this point, I thought we were still continuing with the Viking Raiders. I don't know what happened with that, but I'm guessing that was one of those SmackDowns that we just didn't talk about, that they had a match and we didn't see them after that anymore. They were just gone. And I'm like, okay, weird. Why are they not getting a shot to tag titles at Mania? That's stupid. The match was okay, though. Again, this is something to build up Rick Boogs and Nakamura's momentum going into Mania. Are the Usos gonna lose the belts at Mania? I don't know. That I don't know because yeah, they're making WWE a lot of money. They're the biggest tag team right now in SmackDown that no one can't beat. They have their cousin by their side, so at pretty much at this point they're unstoppable.
They have Fox behind them.
Yeah, that too. They have the network behind them. They have faith in them. Vince has faith in them, which is rare because if your faith is only in Roman, you had to believe in these two guys also. And these two guys could actually bring something to the table, and they have. You know, if you're having them hold on to the SmackDown Tag Team titles for that long, I think I know most likely who they're going to lose it to. And it's going to piss me off if it does happen, since someone made their return on this night.
What, the New Day?
Yeah.
I don't think right now they're going to do that.
They don't, I mean, yeah, not right now because they have to deal with freaking Nakamura and Boogs. But then after that, they're going to go out. The New Day is going to go after it. They're going to make them do that. Yeah, back to Brock. Brock is now just sitting in Roman's luxurious studio apartment locker room. He drinks his disgusting champagne, but then he spits it right out of the bottle. And then he throws the bottle against the wall furiously. Hey, did you know
that WrestleMania
is 8 days away? Oh, no. Did you know that? Yeah. Did you know that WrestleMania is 8 days away? Stay tuned. I don't know. I just put
that there as a reminder.
All right. Next week. So next week, immediately following SmackDown, is the Hall of Fame. Will people be watching it? I don't know because
Rampage
is going on. I want to watch it, but there hasn't really been a lot of names that have been thrown into the Hall of Fame bracket. I mean, so far it's been Undertaker, Vader,
Charmaine,
Queen Charmel, and Shad.
How many is supposed to be? Five?
Originally, they're supposed to do five Hall of Famers, one celebrity wing, and a warrior participant. Oh, and the Hall of Fame Legacy Award.
So we're still waiting on the Legacy, and we're still waiting.
The Legacy one is the one that they just announced the day of the Hall of Fame.
Okay, so now we're waiting for just the celebrity one.
Yeah.
No, that's Shaq.
I don't know. This Hall of Fame is really weird. Because, yeah, your two biggest ones are Vader and Taker. People were throwing around the rumor that Sid Justice was supposed to be in the Hall of Fame. Can I remind you that we are 8 days away from Mania? Like, who the fuck else are they going to throw in now? Like, hold on, let me get this straight. You had all this fucking time to give people...
You had 2 years.
No, not even 2 years. You had till the Royal Rumble. Okay, you had to, after the Royal Rumble, to sit here, call up a few people and be like, hey, you want to be in the Hall of Fame? Hey, you want to be in the Hall of Fame? Like, I understood the Hardy one. I understood the Hardy one because that was...
Oh, they fucked that one up.
Yeah, they fucked that one up, but also it's just like, you can't induct Jeff without inducting his brother. What kind of bullshit would that be? You know, sometimes I get mad over the fact that Edge should have not been inducted into the Hall of Fame. It should have just been Edge and Christian instead of just Edge himself. But I digress. I'm biased when it comes to that type of shit.
You tell him, zombie.
All right.
You tell him.
But we also found out on SmackDown that Shad will be receiving the Warrior Award. And we're all happy for that. We're all going to be shedding a tear of joy for that shit. So now we got Caleb Braxton backstage with Drew McIntyre on WrestleMania. Wow, how low has Drew McIntyre stooped in his career?
Oh, yeah, no. I feel bad for him.
Why?
Because he got the fake WrestleMania moment. And then...
But then he had the better WrestleMania moment. You know, the one where he lost.
And now he got to deal with Corbin.
I mean, all right. Let me talk about this. He will compete against the undefeated Happy Corbin. McIntyre says that he could take Corbin out at any time. Take him out where? To McDonald's? To a steakhouse? How about say like knock him out? You know, when you say stuff like that, hey yo. All right.
Hey yo.
I'm just gonna make that a thing. Like, I'm done saying pause. That's a video game reference. Stupid fucking chair. All right. So
we've been doing it at my job ever since we saw the meme video.
Corbin has been taking him to a dark place. McIntyre wants to do it at WrestleMania. Hey yo. And wipe the stupid smirk off his face. And then they show a video package of the evolution of Baron Corbin from bum ass to top of the world as Happy Corbin. You know, they show how he was broke, he was poor, he was asking people for money, he's telling people to go to his GoFundMe. And I'm like, my man, you're getting a hefty paycheck just for playing the role of a panhandler.
You know what's sad? Bleacher Report doesn't even talk about that.
No, they don't, because I mean, why would you? Talking about that is like talking about the career of Perry Saturn and Moppy. All right, so I mean, look, I was really digging the whole Happy shit until they brought Moss in the picture. The minute they brought Moss in, this character was dead. I still didn't get how this guy was still getting this push that he was undefeated. I'm like, you could have gotten your ass kicked at any point, but you just let your lackey do the beating for you.
You mean like what Seth Rollins did in the beginning with J&J Security?
Well, yeah, but at least they were funny. Madcap Moss is not funny. Okay, he's a tryhard. So these two fucks are backstage. They're watching a video backstage. Corbin says that they can make a movie trilogy about him. Corbin will win the Academy Award for the happiest guy in the world when he stands over McIntyre's broken body at WrestleMania. Moss says they could call the movie Ball Brothers, but Corbin doesn't get the joke.
Hey, yo.
I get it, because he's bald. But I don't get the joke either, because Madcap isn't bald. Drew isn't bald. What did you think of this?
I like, no lie, the only thing I liked about it was I liked the actual graphic part of it. Like the way they were doing it. Because me as a photographer, like not only I watch it, but then I watch like the production. I'm like, okay. So what honestly caught me was the production of it and not really the promo.
It was a stupid promo. Honestly, it was just stupid. All right, so we have Rich Holland is making his way down to the ring with Sheamus and...
Why do they look like the Irish Chippendales?
I don't want to say this man's name.
Butch?
I don't want to say his name.
Butch?
That's not his name.
Butch?
That's not his fucking name!
According to Bleacher Report, it says Sheamus and Butch accompanied Rich Holland to the square circle for his rematch against Kofi Kingston, except it was not Kingston who the former rugby player competed against Friday, but rather the returning, the motherfucking Xavier Woods!
The Kern!
Vince was probably like, okay, I'm getting sick and tired of you being on the air at G4 every week. We need you back on WWE.
The match with the sprint and Harley, the welcome back, was probably deserved. He still won, scoring a quick victory over Holland and stunting the Young Stars' momentum ahead of WrestleMania. Who knows if any of these men will actually have a match on the biggest card of the year. But segments like this, complete afterthoughts and execution, do not help create buzz or entry one. But hey, the king is back. So what up, though? They look like the Irish Chippendales. And I played Mario Kart.
Did you talk about the match?
Yes, I played Mario Kart.
Okay. Yeah, I'm happy that, you know, Woods is back. But this match just lasted, like, I heard it was 47 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Just a cradle, and it was over. So, welcome back, Woods.
When did Shane get this?
Rich Holland still needs a lot of work. I mean, I saw the spot. We've all seen it. I'm mad that we didn't talk about it because I wanted to sit on this man. But honestly,
why is Sheamus so swollen?
His workout ethics. I mean, come on, the guy has his own gym in his garage. So I can't wait to see what Rich Holland, Sheamus, and Name Redacted has to bring to the table.
Who, Butch?
That's not his fucking name.
Oh, I know how to get you mad on Saturday. Bring on the Butch.
I mean, look, I understand that, like, the way that they gave him this name is like, oh, it was a nickname that he used to use back when he was a Cockney and, you know, going to British pubs at 17, drinking and fighting with the good old men. And, you know, it's always like, is that true? Was that name redacted, his actual nickname growing up? Because I'm really not going to call him that. I'm really not. Not after they made him look like Sheamus. And now they're going to basically say he's going to fight like me. He's going to look like me, and he's going to win like me. And I'm just like, you fucking idiots. You're just starting a Sheamus cult.
Hey, you.
Like, we got to stop that. All right, so we got Paul Heyman in a fucking limousine holding that Universal Championship. He says he knows Brooklyn is dying to acknowledge their tribal chief, but it'll have to wait. They've been taking care of business in New York City. They ate at Del Frisco's and went to Madison Square Garden where he busted Lesnar open. We're still talking about that whole shit that happened at the Garden. My man, every time they play that fucking scene that happened at the Garden weeks ago, they get their dicks hard. It's like, we got to show it. We got to show that blood from Brock. We got to make it look real. We got to make it look like this angle means something. Why? Because that blood, it sells. Meanwhile,
they're
sitting there jerking it off to that whole segment. I'm like, you guys are...
Because Roman smashed Brock Lesnar at the Garden.
That man smashed nothing. Okay. Just because you hit him with a chair countless times doesn't mean you smashed him. Just because you made that man bleed in front of 15,000 or what, 5,000 people at the Garden doesn't mean you smashed him. What you did was you beat him. That's it. That's just it. So... Reigns warns Lesnar to get out of his locker room or he will have him bleeding all over Brooklyn while they're in the limousine. I'm like, so you guys have been backstage the whole time in that limousine? You guys haven't even moved.
I would have noticed if the car would move. You guys would be moving too. This show is stupid. I can't fucking take it anymore. I can't fucking take it.
All right, I'll do it for you. I'll do it.
I'll let you do it, but I'm just gonna get my shit off my chest real quick about this before you say.
Okay, let's do it.
The next shit. Look here. I tried to be fair here. I tried to be nice with this. We only do SmackDown like bi-weekly, twice, once every 2 weeks. We're trying to make this a weekly thing. Please be patient with us, people. Not every time we watch SmackDown, it's going to be a banger. Not every time we watch it, it's going to be bad. But sometimes, when you look at shit like Charlotte Flair and Ronda Rousey, sometimes I just have to do this. I get sick and tired of having to deal with nonsense like Ronda, Charlotte. Ronda still can't talk. She's horrible. She's god-awful garbage. She sounds like a robot that, you know, she sounds like the Alexa from the fucking Amazon shit. Just annoying and, you know, trying to take over your fucking mind type shit. Charlotte looks dumb as hell going into this angle, and she looks super over going into this angle as well. She looks dominant overall. And I'm sorry, if they pull the trigger on thinking that Charlotte Flair is going to walk out of this shit still champion, you're all fucking liars. They're gonna do this shit with Ronda because they, I don't know if they want to do another winner take all like they're doing with the men's, but sooner or later, we're getting Ronda versus Becky, which is what we should have gotten at this WrestleMania, but we didn't.
I don't know. I personally don't understand why we're getting another Bianca versus Becky. I love Bianca, but
the only reason why they're doing it is because they want to erase the memory of 26 seconds at SummerSlam. And let me remind you that originally it was never supposed to be Becky versus Bianca. It was supposed to go back to Bayley versus Bianca at Mania.
But we still got no Bailey.
We still got no Bailey due to injury. Now she's a free agent. Now we don't know if she's ever going to show up on Raw or on SmackDown. We have to wait till after Mania to see if she's even going to show up.
Oh, you mean like Cody?
Nah, I don't give a shit. He's showing up this Monday because we're getting the match with fucking Seth. Either that or they're going to do... Please do not have Seth Rollins face The Undertaker. Please do not. I don't want to see it. I don't. Look, this angle is stupid. It's dumb. I don't like it. It's very, very, very annoying. And I'm really hoping that the match shuts me the fuck up. Because like I said earlier, your build up to the match could be horrible, but the second that bell rings and that match becomes a 5-star classic, I'll shut the hell up about the angle and I'll just talk about the match.
Okay.
Because that's how I have to see things. Your angle is what's important here. And let me tell you right now, Ivy, this whole Mania build up, not just Ronda and Charlotte, this whole Mania buildup is
just, it's trash.
It's fucking horrible. It's horrible.
It's trash.
There are literally only 3 matches out of the 12 or 13 or 14 that they're going to add here because it's going to be 7 for one night, 7 for the other night. I know they're going to do that. There are only 3 matches here that I'm actually 100% interested in. Everything else could just go to hell. But...
yeah.
Those other matches could also be good. But that's the thing that I'm talking about. You could have a bad WrestleMania buildup, but for some reason, if this show turns out to be a banger, holy fuck, I'll just talk about how much of a banger the show was. Knoxville versus Zayn. Pat McAfee versus Austin Theory.
and AJ Styles versus Edge. Those are the only three matches I am 100% interested in. Why? They're fresh. They're original. And honestly, I want to see some shit. Everything else, I've seen numerous times in this company. Like, how many times are we going to get Roman versus Brock?
I'm mad they still call, after all this time, we're still calling Roman and Brock a dream match.
What dream match? It's not a dream match. It's stupid. All right, but go ahead.
Like, watch Peacock. Go back into the catalog. This has been going on since the match that really cultivated Seth fucking Rollins' career when he cashed in.
But go ahead. Talk about this whole thing with Ronda and Charlotte.
So Ronda hit the ring and cut a promo on Charlotte Flair, who was interrupted remotely because Charlotte would not dare to be in motherfucking Brooklyn because they say that Brooklyn and New York is the rent trash. So it looks like that Charlotte is afraid to face Rousey after last week's show. It was more of the same as the champion and the challenger have been talking jack shit for like 5 minutes, and that was it.
Awful promo. Very awful.
Hosted by Papa John's.
Yeah. Thank you, Shaq, for providing us with, you know, pizza. And
pizza.
Thank you, John Leguizamo, for being the voiceover of Papa John's. You just love to talk about Brooklyn-style pizza. Fuck, man.
And then after that, there was a Intercontinental Champion Ricochet returned to the ring.
Wait, hold on.
Before
we get to the Intercontinental Championship match, Caleb Braxton finds WWE Champion Brock Lesnar still in Roman Reigns' locker room. He isn't having fun. I mean, he just Super Smash Bros. The fuck out of this man's studio apartment. What were you expecting him to do? He's trying to get provoked. And the only way to provoke Roman is by trashing his fucking locker room. So he's not having fun. So he's about to turn some shit up. He tells Caleb to tell Reigns to get here ASAP because he's running out of things to smash. So you basically sexually assaulted this man's locker room. You assaulted all of the inanimate objects that were in that fucking locker room.
I'm over this. This is literally like the couple, like one is the brat and the other one is the dom, and we're just watching it fucking happen.
Honestly,
and Paul Heyman is just the mistress of the two.
Honestly, this is the most entertaining shit I've ever seen. I mean, you want to talk about build-ups with Brock and Roman? This is probably the best build-up that they've had for WrestleMania between these two. All right. Now, we go to the Intercontinental Championship match.
So, then another Intercontinental Champion.
Not an IC title match. It was a championship contenders match.
In this bullshit Intercontinental Championship contenders match, Ricochet jumped into the show with Los Lotharios and Andrew. A brief match concluded with the heel scoring an upset with thanks to interference from partner Humberto, which prompted Ricochet to challenge him to a match. Then Humberto scored the win via count out, making the heel tandem a 2-0 tonight. What the fuck? Yo, just release Ricochet from his contract now, please. Is that Loki Doom down there?
No, I was looking for something to threaten.
To throw?
No, to threaten with, because, you know, following this bullshit, you know, we had a plant. We had another indie plant that showed up on SmackDown getting kissed by these two cousins. And to make matters worse, he loses to both of these men via roll-up and via count-out.
Release him from his contract.
No, what they should have done, because they should have been smart about this, is you should have gave us a special singles match between Finn Balor and Ricochet have the United States and Intercontinental Champion be at Mania. But no, guess what we're getting next week, Ivy? We're getting a fucking Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. And guess who's in the Battle Royal?
Who?
Finn fucking Balor.
And who's Ricochet fighting next week?
In a triple threat for the Intercontinental Championship, he's fighting the Cousins. I want to die. So, Sami Zayn is backstage. Great. We get to talk about Sami Zayn. He says Knoxville has no chance in hell against him in a normal match. But he is, but now he's doomed. Where the hell's my cat? I just said doomed.
Loki!
He's sleeping with my wife, probably. He's doomed in an anything goes match. Zayn will bring punishment that has never been seen before in WWE. Oh, so what have we not seen in WWE that you're expecting to do at WrestleMania? Are you expecting some excrement, some pyro, some weird shit? Because I think we've seen it all in WWE. Again, we've seen Triple H fuck a mannequin. All right?
Listen, once they start bringing dildos, I'm going to be like, hey, yo.
So after that whole segment with Sami Zayn happens, we cut to the commentary table, and Pat McAfee and Michael Cole talking about the stuff that Sami Zayn said. When Austin Theory just shows up and spit slaps the shit out of Pat McAfee's head and his headphones start flying everywhere, it's like...
And then he goes running after him.
So
he's like, I'm gonna fuck you up. Yes, I will.
This man literally chased him down outside backstage. Literally... Theory runs into Mr. McMahon's office. No, the fuck he didn't. He did not run into Mr. McMahon's office because last time I checked, I'm a smart person in this business. I didn't hear a door shut. I didn't hear a door slam. All I heard was footsteps. And I saw fucking Austin Theory running to the other end of the goddamn hall. And Pat McAfee is literally like knocking on Vince McMahon's door. Like if he's Buddy Murphy and Vince McMahon's Aleister Black, like... I want to pick a fight with you. And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? So he just stops. They just cut right there. And then we have a fatal four-way women's match.
I'm not going to lie. The women's match is what I think the only thing I really had my attention. You see Team Bad and you see how Rhea Ripley and Liv Morgan are doing with each other. And I'm starting to like a little bit the dynamic between Shayna Baszler and Natalya. Boops.
Okay, so it's a fatal four-way. It's Sasha Banks, Queen Zelina, Shayna Baszler, and Rhea Ripley. So next week will possibly be Carmella, Natalya, Liv Morgan, and Naomi. To build this stupid little angle that they're doing here. And I'm gonna agree with you here. This was actually a pretty good match. I really enjoyed it. Here's how it happened. Queen Zelina and Natalya get out of the ring without incident. Rhea Ripley and Sasha Banks started. They crisscross right before Banks slaps her. Banks uses the ropes to hit a slinging arm drag. Baszler runs in, but Banks sends her into the Rhea Ripley in the corner. Banks hits the running knees before hitting Rhea Ripley with a bulldog for the one count. Banks hits the ropes, but Zelina pulls her out, slams her onto the commentary table. All teams get in the ring, and they start beating the shit out of each other. We cut back from commercial. You see a Rhea Ripley applying the prism trap to Banks. Baszler breaks it up. The partners have been sent to the back. So, yeah, all the partners have been ejected to make the fatal four-way, you know, actually legit because they didn't want anyone brawling, but... It's a fatal four-way. It's no DQ. You should have the guys that are outside not competing in the match, brawling just for the fuck of it if you want to keep building this angle. All right. So they take each other out, and Zelina covers all three for two count.
Zelina hits Baszler with double knees into the corner. Again, a lot of fucking knees in this goddamn show. It's like they just ran out of goddamn moves to do. Just knees, 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 knees. It's the bee's knees of SmackDown. All right, so Banks avoids it and puts Zelina in the bank statement. Baszler stops Zelina from tapping out and tries to snap her arm. Banks grabs Baszler and applies a double bank statement to Zelina and Baszler.
Yo, that was crazy, by the way. That was fucking crazy.
That was. And, like, you know, to see stuff like that, you know, take place, it's kind of cool. But also, it's like, you don't want to do it so much because then it just ruins the illusion of, oh, like, she could pull it off against two people. I imagine if she could do it to 3 or 4 or 10. Just who fucking knows?
I hope they leave it like that, but...
So Rhea gets fired up, but Baszler goes for the careful to clutch. Banks hits the backstabber on Baszler. Zelina hits the code red, but she's pulled out of the ring. Zelina and Baszler brawl at ringside before Rhea hits a cannonball off the apron into Baszler. Zelina hits a diving hurricanrana on Ripley off to the apron. Zelina taunts them for a little while and then gets back in the ring. Banks locks the bank statement on Zelina. She taps out, giving Sasha Banks the win.
Yeah!
I really enjoyed this match.
Really did. I did too.
Really did. Honestly, this is probably the only match that was good.
Entertaining.
Throughout the show. Yeah, and entertaining as well. I give it that much credit. You know, I'm just hoping, like, with all these matches that they're doing, I'm hoping that it doesn't lead to the Fatal 4-Way turning into shit, because WrestleMania has now had a history of having bad women's tag team matches. And they never really exceeded expectations of that everyone wanted to see. So I'm hoping that, you know, maybe this could become a turnaround. Who fucking knows?
Hope so. Hey, they're back again. They're back again. Roman's gonna smash Brock.
All right. So yeah, we basically have Roman Reigns and Paul Heyman getting out of their fucking car and they're making their way into the ring. The commentators basically bring up the whole, they talk about the WrestleMania card and what's buzzing, what's going on. And now it's time for Roman Reigns to make his way into the ring. Reigns says, "Brooklyn, acknowledge me." And we're all just like, "Boo!" Or no, everyone's just like, "Yay!" And I'm like, "Wait a minute. Aren't you supposed to boo this man? He's the heel. You're supposed to boo that man." All right. So the crowd gets wild. Reigns asks the wise man if Brock Lesnar is still in his locker room. Heyman sheeplessly says he doesn't know, but he knows that Lesnar is in Brooklyn and he is nervous. Lesnar says it's a bad thing. No, Reigns says it's a bad thing for Lesnar, not them. If Lesnar is still in his locker room, he's coming to put his head through a fucking wall. Reigns' locker room is shown on the screen and it is just completely destroyed. Reigns is not happy with his studio apartment being tarnished. I guess he needs to stop trusting those Airbnb clients. The crowd...
He don't pay a pretty hefty cleaning fee.
The crowd are chanting Suplex City, and he calls Brooklyn the island of relevancy. Reigns demands to know where Lesnar is. The WWE champion music hits, but Lesnar is not appearing on the at the stage, at the Tron. No. We can see Lesnar with a pickaxe, and he's destroying the car. He's destroying Roman and Paul's car. And Roman, like a smart ass, he's like, that's small money for him, but there's not going to be any weapons at WrestleMania, you idiot. And just thinking to myself, there should be, because Brock Lesnar is coming for blood. So why aren't there any weapons? Why isn't this a no holds barred? Why isn't this a street fight? Why isn't this anything but a regular match? Why does this have to be a regular match?
Stupid. I don't know.
So Lesnar just like chucks the pickaxe onto the car like if he's just some sort of professional axe thrower and shit. But it hits the floor. Now his music hits.
and the crowd goes crazy. Reigns looks nervous. All of a sudden, Lesnar is not coming from the stage. He's coming from the crowd and stands on the commentary table. All of a sudden, security just shows up. Brock just grabs a steel chair. Lesnar just laughs and holds the chair up. He leaps up to the commentary table and just annihilates the security team with chairs. Just whacking them and shit. So the Usos just show up. They get Reigns and Heyman out of there. Lesnar just leaves the ring and smashes the chair on another helpless security guard. He grabs a fresh chair and scares the shit out of Michael Cole and Pat McAfee, clearing the commentary booth. Lesnar poses with the title on top of the commentary table. Reigns appears backstage and says that WrestleMania, Brock Lesnar will acknowledge him as the undisputed WWE Universal Champion. And that is what SmackDown.
What I want to know is, let's say Roman loses. Does that mean the Universal title is no more? And if Brock loses, does that mean there's no more WWE title?
At this point, I'm just expecting a draw. I don't want none of those titles to change. This is why I never wanted a title for title match to begin with. I didn't want to see another title unification. Sometimes I get sick and tired of WWE like to pull in their old playbooks and like, oh, we haven't done this in like 5 years. Let's do this shit again. Like, do people want to see that again? Do people want to see one guy hold on two belts? Like, do you really think you're going to see Roman on Raw Monday and on SmackDown Fridays every week? I don't think so. Do you think you're going to see that for Brock? I don't think so. But again, that's just my opinion. I don't know how WWE is going to actually book that shit. And if they book it correctly, good for you. But again, at the end of the day, I never wanted a title unification. I kind of wanted Lashley to go into WrestleMania as champion. But I didn't know about the shoulder injury until Elimination Chamber. Oh, I'm sorry. That fuck show in that fuck country. Honestly, like, this was the worst SmackDown, alone in Brooklyn, to actually have a WrestleMania build-up. I mean, I don't know whether to give this a who booked this shit or a bad. Because...
Oh, it's definitely a who booked the fuck out of this shit.
It honestly, yeah, I'm gonna agree with you. I'm gonna give it a 1.5. That's a very high who booked this shit, and that's still a fail. That still fails. I mean,
that's still a stretch.
If the only thing that, like, kept the show interesting was the whole Brock and Roman thing, then I'm sorry,
it felt like a wrestling version of Tom and Jerry.
That's what it was. That's what it felt like. It's just, oh, look at me, I'm Jerry the Mouse, I'm gonna cause all this wreaking havoc and chaos on Roman's locker room. I'm Thomas the Cat, Roman Reigns, you gotta acknowledge me. My locker room was destroyed. Where the fuck is that mouse at? Like, I don't know. Honestly, time's almost up. And literally, like, throughout the 5 weeks, 5 to 6 weeks that we've been waiting for WrestleMania, the build has been weak, very weak, awful. I don't think, like, there have been a lot of weak builds, but... Again, like I said, the shows could be built up very weak. But the minute the pay-per-view starts and the matches take place, I think if it exceeds all the expectations, maybe this WrestleMania might be as good as we are thinking. But the build-up, hell no. This show honestly gets a who booked this shit.
I'm definitely a who booked this shit. By far.
Yep. But Our road to Ramble Mania, WrestleMania is almost over. The first five.
You going down.
The first fatal five-way to take place on both nights. Can't wait. Are you excited?
I'm excited. I'm trying to see if we could go cross-platform. Y'all didn't answer my question.
I don't know nothing about that. You got to talk to these guys about that. But let's bring it home.
I put it in a request in a group that you two were supposed to relate to the rest of your members, that if we do night one on my platform and we do the main event night two on your platform, I'm still waiting for my question. I need you guys to properly answer it in the cut promo.
I'll speak with Six. Hit up Six later, and we'll try to have like a.
I want you to cut a promo too. I want a whole promo saying you accept my challenge to come to my arena.
We'll see about that. But let's wrap this up because I know you got stuff to do. I got stuff to do. So let's bring it home here. YouTube.com/RambleManiaShow, where you could stomp a mud hole on that subscribe button. Cheer for us by clicking the thumbs up. Every week we put out all the live reactions, all the weekly recaps for all of you to watch and enjoy. For all of our social media platforms, you can follow us on Facebook.com/RambleManiaShow. Instagram at RambleManiaShow, Twitter at RambleMania, TikTok at RambleManiaShow, Twitch.tv/RambleManiaShow. For all of our audio platforms, just search RambleManiaShow. You can find us on Apple, Google, Spotify, Stitcher, SoundCloud, Anchor, all of your audio platforms. Just search RambleManiaShow because every week we put out all the audio for all of you to listen to and enjoy. Let them know where to find you, Ivy.
It's your homegirl, Ivy, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning in with us. You can follow me at www.rawzonenyc.com, where you catch all of our content. The tickets to our show on April 14th at the Shillelagh Tavern, celebrating our five-year anniversary. Thank you once again to all of our sponsors and our friends. Follow me everywhere at imiv.xo_. And, you know, like, subscribe, comment. You know, everything counts. Let's build up this community and let's, you know, keep doing this shit.
You can follow me on Instagram at iZombies, IZombiesZ. Our road is about to be almost over. One more week.
One more week. Now 8 more days.
For Ivy, I am Hazel the iZombie. This has been another edition of What SmackDown and the Ramble Mania Show. We would like to wish all of you a point and goodies. A hey yo, and a too fucking sweet. A good fight, a goodbye, and a good fucking day to you all.
Hey yo.